sound like you. Nothing. Never mind. I'm sorry, sir.
What did you say?
No, sorry, sir. I won't talk back to you.
Hey, easy. We're all friends here, right? We're all friends.
We're friends?
Yeah, contractually.
Really? I have friends.
Of course.
You guys are my friends.
What a great actor.
Come on.
Oh no. You're breaking up now.
He did warn us.
Man,
what happened?
Tommy, you are a great actor because you can go from fucking Joe Pesci to Anne Hathaway right away. Just with the flip of a switch.
I think that's my cognitive abilities.
Oh man, it's sick. Fuck. All I was gonna say is, Zeus, before we start recording, Invincible, the comics are not as good as the show. The writing.
Whoa!
You say whoa, that that's the movie crazy. Is better than the book?
The show.
Whoa. I'm telling the
Harry
fandom right now.
It's not bad. The books were written by Robert Kirkman, who did The Walking Dead. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not.
I did not know that either.
But
I'm gonna put that to memory.
There are a lot of things in the original comics that one didn't age really well. A lot of the female characters, they just didn't age well. It's really bad.
When was it written?
Like early 2000s, I think. It was in response to a lot of the DC stuff. What I will say is, what the show couldn't do that the comics did do is a crossover with, I don't think the show's ever going to be able to do this, but they did a crossover with Spider-Man, the comic books.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Like a full crossover.
How?
Marvel Image they were able to pull it off. They were able to do a crossover. But it's like a lot more complicated with television.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But yeah, it's like I was reading some of it. It's like Invincible and Spider-Man fighting Doc Ock. It's fucking cool. It's really cool.
Whoa.
So if you want to read it for cool hype shit like that, like absolutely. But yeah, some of the some of the character writing and I mean, like, it's a TV show with a writer's room, you know, like it's bound to be better versus something written by one guy, maybe an editor.
Damn. Yeah, I was so like, I've heard about it and I've known that like people have said that's really good, and I watched it and I was like, fuck me, this is really good.
Yeah.
And then I was also like shocked about the cast of that show. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, dude.
What is this casting?
They got Steven Yeun, J.K. Simmons. They got Zazie Beetz playing a girlfriend.
Yeah. Fucking Walton Goggins. Dude, Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen produces it. I don't know if you know that. Seth Rogen.
Oh, I did not know that. He's producing it. Okay, that makes sense.
Also, they got a. Oh fuck. So in the comic book, it's just like a random reference, but the high school that he goes to is called Reginald Vell Johnson, which is the dad from Family Matters, and the joke is that the principal is actually Reginald Vell Johnson, and the show actually got Reginald Vell Johnson.
That's so good. that's so good. That's
it's
great.
So fucking funny.
Yeah, anytime there's a voice, I'm like, wait, is that? And then it is, and I'm like, how did that's crazy?
How,
like,
did they fucking damn. Get them for this show? Yeah, it's
and then they deliver, like, it's like, oh, they're an actor, but then they're also like, as a voice actor, they're delivering. I was so impressed.
It's not just celebrity casting like they do
for
movies and shit. Yeah, it's really really fucking killer shit, man. They got Sandra Oh to play his mom. It's wild. It's fucking wild.
Like, season two started, and then, like, wouldn't the bug lady that Omni-Man is fucking, I'm like, is that Rhea Seahorn? And then I was like, holy fuck.
No way it is.
Yeah. I was like, every time a voice came on, I'm like, is that? I'm like, surely this can't be that person. And it always is. And they this is such an insane cast. I'm like, how do you do this?
They got Tim Robinson. I just remembered. They got Tim Robinson to play, like a bit character. It's so funny. Yeah, dude. No, you're right. The cast for that show was insane.
I wonder. Yeah, they just like it's so weird how like it's so the casting is so crazy. Like I'll just be like, oh okay, you know they're setting the tone, Steven. You know it's like they had they're go and then all of a sudden just Ben Schwartz. You know.
Wait, just, like, who does Ben Schwartz play?
The Martian that like comes to Earth.
Oh, he plays Shapesmith. Holy shit, you're right. Now that you said it, I can't fucking unsee. Dude, the show is so good, man. There are just so many good things about Invincible. You know, they do it so well. So, oh my god, this is all staying in the episode because we've been recording for way too long. But just the last thing. Originally in the comic book, Omni-Man killing the Guardians of the Galaxy was supposed to be a mystery. That's something that doesn't get revealed until, like, you know, what is the end of the first season, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really supposed to come as a shock. So in my opinion, it's honestly better writing because it's like a better hook. And it also, for like, you know, people who already read the books, they can, you know, just like, it's different and they can like enjoy the show differently. But it's just fucking crazy to me that like the opening hook is, yeah, Superman murders the Justice League. It's not a mystery who does it. It's now like, when are they going to find out? Like every scene is just so intense in that first season. Cause you're like, is he evil? Is it like, okay, wait, was he mind controlled? Like what the fuck? Like it's just fucking great. It's just so good.
Yeah. I'm really glad they did that. Cause that is what hooked me. Like I just went to put it on just to like, oh, maybe I'll watch the first episode. And then just before I knew it, I was like 7 episodes in. Yeah. Just trying to be like, why do you do it? What's going on?
And it's fucking perfect because that was, I'm pretty sure that's the after credits scene in the first episode. Like they do the fake out thing where they bring up the like directed by and then they cut to the Guardians of the Galaxy being killed, which is just so, it's good. It's great. It's just amazing. It's just a great show. I can't believe we got to wait another 3 years for season 3 or whatever.
Yeah, I hate when I get into a show and it's like, oh, we're waiting for the other one. I'm like, I couldn't have found out about this when it was all over.
Yeah.
I had to start now.
Yeah.
I just have to wait like everyone else now? Damn it.
Like a fucking scrub?
Yeah. God.
Should we intro? Hey everybody, welcome to the Everyday Nothing Special podcast with me, your host, Tino Bambino, here as always with my crew, Zeus the Goose, God of Thunder. Give it up, Zeus.
Yer.
He's a pirate. Cool? He's a pirate today. Yeah, that was cool, man. Hey, that read really well. And of course, his long return after an unexpected hiatus. That's right, people. The Russians couldn't keep him down. It's Tommy Gunn motherfucking Jones. Say what's up, Tommy.
My battery's at 54%. Should I charge it?
Yeah. It's so easy to charge your phone.
Absolutely, you should charge it.
What do you mean?
Just get the charger.
Dude, it's like we're in it's 2024. You have to have a phone on you. What if something happens?
How embarrassing is it when your phone dies? Like, who does it? Like, just charge your phone.
Shit, my phone hasn't died in years. Actual years. I don't remember the last time my phone has ever died.
Okay, that's actually crazy. Mine has died
at least 3 or 4 times.
What you said is crazy.
It's because you got an older phone. You have an older phone, so the batteries dies fast. It's
I take it back. Phone? I take everything I said back. That's crazy. That's insane.
Yeah, no, dude. Charge your phone.
Mine's
it's about to die.
S20. It's got 54%. It's almost halfway. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's a charge to me right there.
Okay. That's...
Dude, speaking of old phones, I have to upgrade my phone soon. It takes like sometimes YouTube takes like a whole minute to load up.
Oh my god.
Unacceptable.
Really?
Yeah.
Unacceptable. Yeah. Absolutely couldn't be me.
Mine is instant still. What's wrong with your phone?
Yeah, what's wrong? What kind of phone you have?
My phone is about 60. Okay, cuz I'm poor.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. No. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Tell me what phone you have so I can make fun of you accurately.
Yeah, what phone do you have? Yeah.
iPhone 6S Plus.
You're joking.
Oh my god. No way.
Yeah, that's a bit. You're doing a bit.
I'm not doing a bit. Totally. It's a phone I am.
Yeah, he's doing a bit.
No way.
There's no way.
Well, being poor is a bit?
You, of all people. Yeah.
To you? Yeah.
You're committed. You're committed,
to you?
Dude.
Yes. Jesus, you need actual insurance for all of the camera equipment that you have in your house, okay? Like, you have tens of thousands of fucking equipment. Like, you need...
He has, like, a new Honda Civic worth of cameras.
Right, exactly.
Stop, everyone. Hold on. Don't leak. Don't leak. I do have insurance, by the way, so everyone who's thinking about running me for what I got... You gotta relax, okay?
Just in case you're thinking of
$500, I'll tell you his address.
Stop. Dude, you gotta ask for more than $500.
Dude, I have to pay you hush
money? That's all I need.
That's crazy.
I mean, yeah, sure, if you want to.
Gotta pay him.
It'd be real shame. I mean, at least it's insured, you know? It won't be that much of a loss.
What's your phone? What's your phone model, actually?
My actual phone model is an iPhone
X.
Okay. What? Well, do you mean X? There isn't an iPhone X.
Yeah, the iPhone. Yes, iPhone it's an X. iPhone X.
Okay. Okay. That's pretty old, man. That's pretty old.
I know, but it's like...
When did it come out? Wait, hold up. When did that come out?
Don't look it up.
Let's look it up.
I'm looking it up right now.
You got
it's like 20. It's like 2018.
Oh man, 2017.
Oh, 2017. Yeah.
That was 7 years ago.
7 years ago, man.
Seven-year-old phone.
I know, but it's just like it doesn't die on me though.
Seven
years.
Yeah, it doesn't die on me though. Like this is fine.
Seven years old.
So when you don't text me back, is that like a phone failure? Okay.
Yeah. Now that you mention it, I do need an upgrade.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah. 7 years is a long. Yeah, actually, you're right.
You should get like a giant tablet and use that as a phone.
An iPad? I have an iPad.
No, not like a big tablet. I'm talking like those like non-Apple ones.
You mean the Cintiq? The things that animators use.
Yeah, that. Use that as a phone.
God, man.
I have an iPhone 15 Pro Max Deluxe Edition.
When did that come out?
God Final damn, mix. Dude.
iPhone 15 Pro Max.
Bro.
When did
your
when
did nudes must go insane.
Wow, dude. Three-dimensional. They have texture.
Bro, put that shit in portrait mode? God damn.
Dog, you don't even have to.
Dude. I'm on the wave now, man. I've been taking pictures of flowers. Shit goes crazy, dude. I'm like a professional photographer now.
God damn. That's beautiful.
It's wild, man. Step your game up, dude.
Oh man, you like the guy who buys like the, he buys like his first DSLR and he's like, yeah, I'm a photographer now. I'm that guy now.
Post on Facebook, hey, if you want pictures, and they post the pictures and it's garbage.
Yeah, if you want to, you need any wedding bucks. Photos.
If you need any wedding photos, I'll post up with my iPhone and a tripod. and I got you.
Yeah. I mean, no joke. There's people that do that. They're making some good money.
I saw something like that, and it was a dude who's taking a picture of a guy's car while he's doing a video of it, and he was running everywhere. Like he jumped from the bushes to get the car, and it's like, damn, if that looked good, it would be worth it.
But it didn't look good.
It didn't look good.
It's just a dude doing parkour in the middle of a wedding.
Exactly. Like, that's what just found what footage. Was, yeah.
That's great.
Basically.
Speaking of things that cost a lot of money, I got a tattoo.
My time.
Oh.
Oh, you got a tattoo?
I got a tattoo. You want to see it?
Oh, yeah, sure. Where is it?
I know the viewers aren't going to be able to see it. Can it's on it my me? It's on my forearm. No, I'll just turn on my.
I mean, describe it. Describe it as you what see it.
Oh, I can't.
So that way the listeners.
Just, I don't have a video.
Okay, that's fine. Oh. I'll.
Wait, Tony, describe it.
Describe it in great detail.
On my forearm, I have two sunflowers.
Oh, nice.
One kind of curved upwards, and then a larger front-facing one, and then a stem with a couple of leaves going down to my wrist.
Nice.
Yeah, and that's my tattoo.
I like that. Post a pic.
Posting a pic, right?
Bro, I love.
Meow.
I love floral tattoos.
Yeah.
When'd you get it?
Oh, that is awesome.
I got it, I want to say 2 weeks ago.
Dude, that's
now.
Sick.
Thank you. Yeah, I got
How'd
it
you know if you go on your forearm?
I didn't. I kind of guessed.
you're like, this should be fine.
Yeah. I mean, I knew that I didn't want it on my right arm just in case I wanted to get something like bigger later down the line. But I always wanted a sunflower, and I wanted it to be kind of big, and I know that, and this is a pretty big tattoo for a first tattoo, by the way.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, it's pretty big. People who can't see it, it goes from, like, his wrist all the way, almost all the way to, like, his elbow.
It's his forearm.
It's my whole forearm.
Dude, that's sick.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Are you gonna get more floral ones? Because that'd be so cool. Got like a sleeve of flowers.
Get a whole sleeve.
I want to. I really do.
Dude, that. Whoa.
I wanted to get like a cherry blossom branch going across my collarbone.
Ooh, that's good.
That'd be
so. Has it happened? I always hear how like people who get tattoos in the beginning, they're like, ooh, it needs to be like really significant and they're really scared to get it. But then they get it and they're like, I just want more. Like I just need more now.
Yeah.
While I was in the chair, I was thinking about other tattoos that I could get.
Damn.
Like that's how
it's addicting, I hear.
That's how the addiction starts. The outline is a little painful. I also noticed that I might have a higher than average pain tolerance, maybe.
Yeah, you totally do.
I do.
Yeah.
I used to get punched in the head a lot, so.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
So that might, like, I was thinking about it. Getting braids hurts more than getting a tattoo, I think.
Wow.
I don't know if that's controversial, but that's how I feel. Is like getting braids.
Just more sensitive.
Yeah, maybe, but like. I'm sure it hurts.
The only way to know,
more in different areas.
Get a tattoo
on my scalp.
Get a tattoo on your head. Yeah, insane. And see if it hurts.
Insane suggestion. But yeah, I think getting your hair braided hurts more than a tattoo.
That's sick.
Oh no!
Well, it's like he is breaking up.
You're breaking up.
Buddy. I always like. Find it that when I ask people about like, oh, how did your piercings feel, they would be like, oh, it just felt like like I stubbed my toe, or like, hey, like I don't know, like a really fast, painful prick, but it wasn't that bad. And then when I got it done, I was like, it just feels like I got stabbed. Like, it just, like, I don't know what they're talking about. It just feels like I got stabbed. It's
got stabbed.
You like, know, yeah, it was quick, but it was like, I got stabbed.
I got my ears pierced by like an actual like nurse, like a former nurse, because I had gotten my ears pierced before. Yeah, a trained professional, because it is like a minor surgery. Like, it's wild to go to like Claire's and get it done by a 16-year-old.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like
get
a minor
gun out that they just used.
Right. Not clean, not sanitized. I got it done by like a minor professional, and he gave me a second piercing. And let me tell you, man, it is getting stabbed. Like, I felt it felt like a scalpel went through my ear. I was like, oh. He was like, breathe in. I was like, breathe in.
How do I not cry? Yeah. No, it's like, it is fast. It's like at the end of, like, by the time you process it, you're like, oh, it's over. Yeah. But I just remember like being like, oh, this is gonna be fine. Like I went to I also was like, I'm not going to just Claire's gun. I was like, I'm gonna go to like a tattoo parlor,
yeah,
and just get someone to actually like do it. And when he was like laying me there, he for a long time he was laying me there, and he was just like lining up the hole, so it was just perfectly centered.
Mm-hmm.
And every single time we went to go do it, I was like flinching because he was taking these like toothpicks, and he was like digging, he was like marking my skin. And so every single time he was doing that, I was like, ah! and then when he was like, okay, you're ready? And I'm like, wait, I thought we were did it already.
I thought that was it.
Yeah, I was like, it was so painful. I was like, oh my God. But it worked wonders.
So more.
No, and then I just remember thinking, I'm like, okay, everyone has talked about how it's just going to feel like a slightly more painful bug by kicking, you know, getting your, you know, stubbing your toe, something like that, biting your cheek. It's like, okay, those are pains I can handle. And then it was just like, you got stabbed and you're like, oh, okay, it's over. You know, it's like, it was like, oh, okay.
You know what's funny?
That's mostly all stabbings.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
They're kind of fast like that.
My body had like a ghost sensation of blood gushing down, like it wasn't real, but my body was trying to make me believe like, hey, you have blood running from your ear,
right? Yeah, your ear gets all hot and shit.
Yeah, I was gonna say the sensation of getting a tattoo is like, it's like something kind of hot scraping against your skin, right?
I love that.
And I can see how some people just don't react at all or don't flinch, because it is like it's a very unique sensation. It's not a direct like, oh, this is pain. Like, I can see on some kind of spectrum, it not hurting for some people. It just hurt a little bit for me. The outline though, let me tell you about the outline. You are going to have to breathe a little heavy for that.
Bro, I would just be like pleading to him. Like, why are you doing this to me?
It's like, you're paying me.
You just do this to people?
You asked for it. You get paid? You get paid to hurt people?
What the fuck?
Get angry at them.
Yeah.
Get really angry.
I should have asked my tattoo artist.
Don't mess up, though.
Did I tell you guys a story about how I met my, how we got this tattoo?
No.
I don't think I was there for that episode.
I love God. like in your relationships, just like, like, babe, remember when I told you? And you're like, I don't recall that one.
I don't recall that episode. No.
Yeah. Damn,
was I there for that season? I think that was the off season.
Yeah. I feel like I always just get reruns with you.
That was all filler.
Yeah.
I go to this thing called Sketch Party in San Diego, where they you go to a bar and they put like paper on the bars, on the bar tables, and people go, a lot of artists and, you know, just people down the street, they come in and you could draw on the tables and stuff. And so I met this guy last year, who was like a really good artist, and I just sat next to him and I was like, man, you're super impressive. And I kept seeing him like when I would go, and then, you know, we just got to talking about like creating, and I was telling him about my journey trying to get better at drawing. And I was like, man, you know, been meaning to get a tattoo for a while. I just don't know what to get. And he was like, I'm a tattoo artist. I was like, huh?
Damn. The stars aligned.
I was like, oh shit. I'm thinking about getting a sunflower. Perfect. And he was like, yeah, they call me like the king of sunflowers, dude. Like, I do sunflowers all the time.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, no way. So I was like, so it has to be you. So it simply has to be you.
The stars were aligned.
Yeah. And his name,
anything was destined, it was that.
Yeah, he's Thankful Travis on Instagram. Shout out, Travis.
Shout out, Travis.
Shout out.
Thank you so much. Axiom Tattoos in San Diego. If you
did great work.
Good work. Tat.
Oh, so sweet. It's like, I didn't do it. But, thank you. but yeah, what no one tells you is that this shit itches like a motherfucker, man, and you can't scratch it.
Dude, I would kill me. That would kill me, man.
I'm gonna need like a cover or something.
Dude, it is like. Sometimes it's way worse than getting the actual tattoo. Like, it's way worse.
Dude, I hate like an itch you can't scratch. Oh my god, it kills me.
Yeah. It's absolute fucking nightmare, man. Especially with something this big. Something this big, like my just entire forearm is on fire.
That's huge for your first tattoo, yes.
And it's so
prior experience.
It's so easily accessible. It's right there. I just want to scratch it. It's, you know?
Exactly.
If it was on my back or something, like I could get over it.
No, you'd be like a bear. You just like rub up against the wall.
I just might.
You'll
actually
find a way.
Now that you're talking about it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm a serial scratcher, so it's like it'd be impossible for you not to like go to scratch. Like, I scratch my skin off already. Like, it's bad.
That's so funny.
That's true. Especially in the back, because like I can't lotion up at the spots where I like you know, there's always a little.
So it's just dry skin.
A little, yeah. So I'm just like, oh, you know, I'm always just tearing it up.
You know what? Having this tattoo has made me appreciate moisturizing more. You gotta moisturize. Hey, fellas, you gotta moisturize.
Yeah, don't make the same mistake as every other like little teenager is doing. Just like, get a skincare routine going as fast as you can.
Seriously.
Get it going. So wear sunscreen, for
goodness
sake.
You'll thank yourself. Exactly.
Unless you have melanin. Passive buff.
You need it too.
Passive buff. Passive buff.
I mean, that is true, though. It is true, but you put some on.
Passive buff.
Passive buff, dude.
At least put it on first so you don't, you know, stop the aging a little bit.
Bro, absolutely. Stop the aging, 100%. I agree. That is something that can happen. Kids in Africa not getting skin cancer. Just saying, you know, passive buff.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
I would love to go through like every race and be like, what is your passive buff?
Oh no.
Like
resistance to fire damage.
Yeah.
Or radiant. Sorry, that's radiant. Resistance to radiant damage.
There's one family with a gene where they can break their bones.
Oh my god.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
It's like the Irish are strong against like anesthesia, but like are weak against alcoholism.
Well, that explains a lot. I'm yeah. just kidding, Irish people.
Mexicans can get a long rest with 4 hours. It's true. It's true.
It's some good shit, man. Has anyone ever made D&D, but like you just, it's just now.
But racism?
No. Yeah.
Probably. Like, well, I'm just...
D&D, but I racism.
I'm definitely a Puerto Rican, you know? It's
like... Oh my God.
Real good at swimming. Real good.
Oh my God.
I might have mentioned this on the show before, but my dad told me this fucked up joke about Dominicans that Puerto Ricans used to tell him.
We might have to cut this part out of the show.
What part?
What part? What are you talking about? So my dad used to say that Puerto Ricans would tell him, like, hey, you hear about what they caught in that shark last week? Got like 3 Dominicans in there. Because oh, no. Dominicans used to swim no. to Puerto Rico to oh, try to get to America.
Oh, no.
God. Damn. Oh.
This is fucking insane. Dark.
It is dark.
Oh my yeah, God. We should. If it hasn't been made already, we should just make D&D but racism,
but racism no. edition. That's what 60's gonna be.
actually, publish it.
I could see. I could honestly see like someone making a parody D&D where it's racism. Like that's on the level of Cards Against Humanity type of, you know.
Yeah.
It's just on that side of crossing the line.
Yeah, yeah. It's South Park level humor, right?
No, it's a little bit more than that.
Is it? I don't know. South Park has done some crazy.
When you're putting actual stats down, bro, you're eugenics right
well,
now.
Well, have you seen the South Park video game where like the difficulty slider is skin color?
No. Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
It's like if you want hard difficulty, you gotta be black.
I mean, it's not exactly wrong. You know? It's a reflection of reality.
Dude, I never watched South Park. Like I, yeah, genuinely, too. The only episode of South Park I ever watched was my friend Colby. He was like, "Hey, there's this really funny episode. Look it up." And I was like, "Sure." Oh, and it was about.
Oh no!
I think it was about like Cartman. I think he went back in time or something. It had to do with the Wii release. And
I remember that episode. He got frozen.
Yes.
Cryogenically frozen, yeah.
Yeah, and somehow all I remember from that episode was that like at the end, the dad, I think he was lugging around his balls in a wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that.
they started using them as like the bouncy balls that you could bounce around in. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
As a mode of transportation.
Everybody was smoking weed that made their balls bigger.
Yeah, I think he something. Like came all over himself or something.
I think that might be a different episode.
I just remember there was a lot of
finds the internet
and. And I was never against South Park, but I was like, I guess it was funny. Like, I like cum jokes too.
So what I'll say is, I guess on the opposite spectrum of you, I have seen maybe every single episode of South Park multiple times.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's wild this has never come up in conversation.
That is great. I had no idea that you like watch South Park.
I am not a fan of South Park, just to be clear.
You just, like why'd you watch it?
So
I've only seen every episode.
So when I was a kid, my mom, they do a lot of bootlegging in New York. What can I say?
No.
And my mom for cheap, for like a few dollars per season, got me 9 seasons of South Park on DVD.
Why?
Because I asked. Because it was literally, she gave me a list, like it printed on a sheet of paper that this bootlegger guy gave her, and she was like, mark everything that you want. And I was like, okay, seasons 1 through 9 of South Park.
No more, no less.
And I watched even the Christmas episodes. I watched every single episode of South Park from season 1 through 9. And then I got older and I just kept doing it. And it wasn't until college that that someone was like, you think that's a good show? And I was like, no.
Like it clicked with you, like, huh?
I was like, yeah. Well,
you would be most experienced.
It's not that bad. And he was like, yeah, the show where they like sexually assaulted Indiana Jones in one episode. I was like, oh yeah, no, I guess the show isn't. Yeah, I guess that show's bad. Like, man, there's a lot of like just not funny and just really disturbing stuff on that show, you know? It's not good.
Yeah, it I know a lot of people, for a lot of people it was a like a big, I always hear it brought up when I hear like I watch animators get interviewed. They always bring it up as like an inspiration. And I always think about like how I'm like, it was definitely of its time. I think that you can't. Is it still going on, by the way?
It is.
I think it is, right?
Yeah.
I like, are they still doing that same type of like humor? Because
it's way more self-aware, I would say.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like they do the humor, but they do it in a way that's like, should we be doing this humor? And it's really annoying.
Yeah. Have you ever seen, what's that show called? It's on Adult Swim. Fuck. Smiling Friends.
I don't think that's it.
The show made by Psychic Pebbles and
Yes.
Rice Kid?
I don't know the other person.
Is it Rice Kid? It's not Stamper. Is it Spaz Kid?
No. I don't recognize. He's an Australian guy. I don't recognize.
It's not
I don't know who the other. I don't recognize who the other guy is. Here, I looked it up real quick. It's Michael Cusack. I don't know who that is.
Oh, I know who Michael Cusack is. He's done other animated shows. Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I didn't watch it because that dude is bad news.
Michael Cusack?
No. Psychic Pebbles.
Oh, Zach Hadle?
Yeah.
What happened? Is there some crazy shit?
You know who Psychic Pebble is, right?
Yeah, I know who he is.
He's part of Sleepy Cabin.
Yeah.
He just said some fucked up shit. He just has some weird beliefs.
I feel like
I am completely out of the loop. I don't know who any of these people are.
I'm sure you've watched a cartoon of his for sure.
Probably.
He was just like a really popular animator.
Yeah.
You know
when there's someone where you're like, I feel like I'm just kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop.
That's funny. Like,
I'm just waiting for some shit to come out about him because he has had way too many weird opinions for me to not like be dubious. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
You know,
I don't know much about his personal life. I would say I only know his like what he was on Sleepy Cabin, and then when they had that big they had that huge breakup. I remember seeing that.
Oh wait, I didn't know that they like had like a official breakup.
Yeah, I just, it was like Stamper got like too crazy, and then other people kind of had like different opinions.
Well, spill the tea. Hold on. Spill the tea.
To keep it simple, it's like Sleepy Cabin was this podcast that was like It was very edgy. It was a very edgy podcast that was centered around like big animators. And I think probably the biggest name on that at the time was this guy named Stamper, who people might recognize from as the voice of like the narrator in
Battle Block Theater. Yeah.
And it was just a bunch of Newgrounds animators that like kind of hung out and were doing their own. I guess they were trying to do their own animation company. But it didn't work out, and they did a podcast that was kind of pretty popular, and it was very, very edgy, very edgy. I think a lot of that stuff doesn't age well, and some of them have even talked about how they just, yeah, it was, you know. Anyway, afterwards, a lot of the Stamper specifically just really messed things up with a lot of the cast members. Specifically, I believe he started doing meth and stealing, and
That would mess things up.
Oh shit.
Yeah. And then you had people like the people split off, like I believe what's his name, Chris O'Neill. He ended up doing his own like Let's Play thing, which ended up finding popularity, and through that they kind of like sectioned off. It was him, and he found another co-star that he started doing it with. But then he would have Zach Hadel, Psychic Pebbles on, and they had their own friendship. And Rise Pirate went and did his own animations and his own work, but they still remained friends. And basically, there was like this big downfall between like differing opinions, even though like you could tell that they at that time were really kind of grew up, but at the same time were like still keeping their same humor. Because from what I've seen, because I watched all this to bring it back to Smiling Friends, I watched Smiling Friends because it was on, and then his voice, Psychic Pebbles' voice, is so recognizable that you can't just like, oh, okay. So I was just like, what the fuck? Like, where's this dude made a show?
Yeah.
And supposedly, I don't know, just there was like a huge breakup between them all without getting into
he was working on the racism.
Yeah, Stamper got pretty racist.
Yeah, Stamper's not the only one. Let me tell you, Stamper's not the only one.
Yeah.
Well,
at least from what it seems like. I mean, I will say that, like, I definitely don't know them. For sure, I don't know them.
Yeah.
But it definitely seems like a lot of them grew out of the edginess, I will say.
Oh, that's healthy, at least.
Yeah, at least that's healthy. That was an awkward end to the episode. Should we end it here? I forgot what I was going to say about. A lot of them were racist, and I kind of hold a grudge. I guess that's all I was
going to say. It makes sense. No, I feel like when you cross a line, it's not like you shouldn't. Even if you do become a better person out of it, don't have all the same beliefs. Yeah. I don't think it's like there should be no expectation that some people would come back and you'd have your fan base again.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude. The awesome game I was dude. Telling you about earlier today? Balatro?
Yeah.
I can't stop. So, Balatro, it's like the creator of Balatro was like, I love roguelikes, man. They're so fun. What's like, I love that idea that you get to like play and you get to like, you get knowledge and you'll lose and you'll go back to the beginning. And they were like, but how do I make that loop? Because it's been done. How do I make that loop so addictive though? And they're like, oh, I know. Because what are people addicted to right now? Gambling. And so you made gambling into a roguelike, and it's so good. It's so good because it's just, it looks like the worst game ever. It looks like you're just playing virtual poker.
It looks like you're just playing solitaire. Like, I'm looking at the...
It's 100%. Like, it just looks like whatever. Like, okay.
But then you get into it, and it's like, I genuinely think it's like the best deck building like roguelike I've ever played
it's, like it's overwhelmingly it's, positive on Steam.
It's so good. It's so good.
There are 28,000 reviews, and everybody's saying this game is good.
It's good, man. Because at the end of the day, like he appealed to what I like in my life. All I want to do is go to Vegas, put my life savings on red, and he appealed to that.
And let it ride.
Yeah. And it's just so, it's so addicting, and that loop is so good. And just like, I think, I said like one more run, probably like, yesterday I probably said one more run maybe like 7 times. And each run goes on for like 40 to like an hour long. So it's like... Dude, I was sitting there. I was the dude at the slot machines just like, just 10 more bucks. What's 10 more bucks? It's like, I'm due, man. I'm due for a win, you know?
So let me tell you. I'm going to hit it. Is it this game, Super Auto Pets, in between games of Valorant? Like, is that what you've been doing?
Yeah. I mean, it's right now my three big games are Stardew Valley, now Balatro, and then Valorant. And each of them have their own purpose. It's like Stardew Valley gives me some form of like relaxation. It is just like, hey, you don't really have to, like, there's no stress. The days go by. You get what you get done. You get some money for it. You feel good. You clean up your farm, whatever. And Valorant is on the opposite spectrum where it's like, dial the fuck in. It's like, it's you or them. You know? And then now Balatro has like completely filled the middle gap in, which is like, it's all tactics now. It's like pure chess. It's like pure just, and then on top of that, you have the like, oh, the number goes up. The number mean I'm good and happy now. You know? I was like, oh, the number down, I mean I'm sad. And so, you know, it's like, if one of those games didn't give me enough dopamine, I'm just gonna hit Balatro up, you know?
Dude, the way that you seek stimulation is insane. like sorry. I just think it's fascinating how if I need something to keep me engaged, I know that you're the person that's gonna find it for me. Because nothing keeps your attention for longer than like a day. That's why I couldn't play Super Auto Pets, because I was like, this is too much for me.
Dude, it's just like these games, like Super Auto Pets is the perfect example of like what you hand the rowdy kid. You hand him the iPad with this game.
And he just shuts like, the fuck up.
He shuts up and he's like just dragging with his finger. Just like for the entire party, just till he goes home. Like that's me. I need those type of games. It's just like, hey kid, shut up. Just play, just here. And then okay. Those are the games that appeal to me.
So I'm gonna get this game. I'm gonna see exactly how manipulative it is.
It's really good because it's just like, you know, some of it is just chance. Like you're just hoping like, please just give me another ace. Give me another ace, you know? And then, but the rest of it is like, because deck builders, like if you ever played Slay the Spire, it's like, ooh, I want to do like a this type of run. Oh, and like, and then you build your deck towards that.
There's like literally a card opening, like you get holographic
cards. Yes. Oh God. Yes. Yes. Yes.
It's so
good. Oh, it's so good. But like, if you ever heard of the game Inscription, some Inscription's a really good one because you'll make a deck and you'll be like, "Ooh, I want to do bones. And my deck is gonna be all bone centered." And then blah blah blah. But you always hit a point where you're like, you kind of feel like you've done all the decks, like you've kind of done it, and that you've kind of seen it all.
Yeah.
And you don't really get rewarded anymore for like doing these cool decks and these combos. But this game, it's like, dude, it is endless. Just because it's just a card of 52, but it's just, it's like anything you can think of with that card of 52, it's like, well, maybe you can do it in this one. It's like, me, what if you had a deck that was all hearts? What if you had a deck that was all aces? A deck that has like 5 ace instead of 4, and you can play a 5 of a kind, you know? It's like, it's really fun in like a really weird way. And They added this crazy mechanic with like Jokers give you like basic like power ups, and so you can be like, oh, for every king in my hand, I multiply it by 1.5 or something like that, and it just it's like it is just. Hey, make number big. Like, make number really big.
Jesus, I need you to understand that you sound like
a
coke addict right now.
Yeah. I need a hit. I need my hit.
You sound insane.
I just need one more hit. It's just so. It is just a very satisfying, fun game, and I didn't expect it to actually be that fun, especially because I like flashy cards. Mm-hmm. And you know, deck
you're
of 52
making, you're
is
not making
that.
My stomach hurt.
Just play the game, okay?
All right, man. Oh,
give me $15. Just play it.
Yeah, speaking,
you'll be happy.
Before we go, something I forgot to tell you. Speaking of games, Risk of Rain 2 just got a new DLC announced. Old fans of the show will know that I have 700 hours in that game.
Wow.
And you know what happened last month, man?
What?
I met two devs from Risk of Rain 2.
But how? Just like on a random day?
No. So I have a few friends in the game industry. I used to work at PlayStation. So one of them was having like a go away party because he was moving, and he invited his friends along, and there was this woman there, and I was like, why does she look so familiar? I don't think I've met her before, because like I haven't hung out with his whole circle of friends. And so we just got to start talking, and she was like, yeah, I'm moving to Texas. I was like, oh, dope. Like, so what do you don't work at wherever anymore? And she was like, oh, no. So there's this game, I don't know if you've heard of it, it's called Risk of Rain 2. I was like, get the
your jaw drop
out of here. I was like, I knew you looked familiar. You were in that documentary. She was like, yeah, I was. And I showed her my phone, and my phone had like the Risk of Rain 2 background.
She talked to the one person that was like probably knew more than she did.
Dude, I was like fucking salivating at the mouth. I was like, I can't believe this. Like, you don't understand. But yeah, they were just telling me about the game, and they were like, hey, if you ever come to Texas, you know, like, let us know. We'll let you do a tour of the studio. I was like, get the fuck out of here.
Damn.
Yeah, man.
That's sick. You should do that tour.
I mean, shit. Fuck, I forgot to get their numbers. But I'm sure it'll come around.
That is so sick, though. Any leaks, though? Any good leaks? Tell me the truth.
Man, I tried.
Damn.
I gotta let you know, man. I was hitting that point of social degradation, you know what I mean? Where I was really... I was really on my knees. I was begging. I was begging. It's like, no. There's got to be something you could tell me. There's got to be something.
Please.
No.
Dude,
but,
that's so sick.
I was so excited to tell you that. I can't believe I didn't.
That is so sick. I would have like, yeah, like water in my eyes been like, please, you got it. Look, I have this is all I have. Like, people would respect me. Just, you have to give me something.
Do you understand what the community yeah, man. I just looked, 732 hours in Risk of Rain 2. It's
damn.
I've spent more time on that game than I have in any world of self-improvement.
Dude, when you got a good run going, it just makes you feel like your life is right, is good. Yeah, it's
has
like
meaning,
purpose. This is the purpose people are talking about,
right?
And then it's like, it's so good that it ends and you're like, you want to talk about it like
you just did two tours, you know? Yeah. Like, you're like, oh yeah, I you're just
like
did
I really went through some shit.
it's like man, but man, we pulled through. We pulled through. You're like proud of it. You're smiling ear to ear, you know?
I know that we've passed the point of relating to literally anybody listening to this. I have Gold Eclipse 3, if you know what that means. Do you?
I don't know. I don't even.
It's fucking insane. I'm such a nerd. On all characters in Risk of Rain 2, what it means is that on every character, I have gotten past Eclipse 3, which is like a progressive difficulty slider where they add more and more challenges. And I'm working my way up to 8 for everybody. And it's, I have a problem. that's what this is about. This is about both of us having problems with games and how much time we invest in them. And totally unrelated, are you ever gonna play Monster Hunter?
I tried by myself.
You didn't like it?
Be
honest with me. It's okay.
No, look. Mm-hmm. I feel like I just haven't hit that point in Monster Hunter where the hunts feel rewarding. Like, it always feels like the game is always telling me, like, just wait. Like, hey, you're too eager. Just wait. Like, and I'm like, okay, I'll wait. And then when it's like, okay, kill it. And I'm like, okay, I'll kill it now. And then I'll go. And it doesn't feel like I'm battling. I don't know. I like it in, the way I can quit is like in Dark Souls. It feels like I have to memorize patterns. I have to, like, you know, it feels like the when I finally get to the boss, it's just like the grind feels really good. And at least in Monster Hunter, it feels like I grinded a lot. And now that I'm at the boss, it feels like almost like I'm playing an MMO where it's like I need to hit certain points in order for me to finish this fight. It's not about like pattern recognition to me. It's like it's about endurance almost.
Huh. Interesting. On a level, I can see. Wait, just out of curiosity, how far did you get? Like, what was the last monster you fought? Do you remember?
You can just describe it to me. By myself, I didn't get far. I got to a big, like, what are they called? A dinosaur with, like, spikes on its back? That's how far I got.
It wasn't flying?
No, I don't think it was flying.
Was it a bird? Did it look like a bird a little bit?
A little bit, but it was more looked like a...
Like a raptor?
Kinda, yeah.
Carrying a rock around or like an egg around?
I don't remember that part, but it could have been.
Yeah, sounds like you either got to the Puke Puke or the Kuliaku. It's one of the first enemies.
Puke Puke sounds really familiar.
Puke Puke? Okay. Yeah. You have a long tongue. That would have been the first thing that you said, I feel. You have googly eyes and a... Did he look
like...
Yeah,
googly eyes.
Okay.
The googly eyes,
this should have been the first thing you fucking mentioned. I'm crazy. It's crazy that you were like, yeah, it's like a dinosaur. Oh, you mean the thing that looks like Elmer Fudd?
That's funny.
Okay. Well, no, that's really interesting. Because I was just talking to my friends who I play Monster Hunter with, and we feel like there's a lot of cooperation in the game that we like, and it is like because there's roles and things that you need to do. I guess on a level you're right. Eventually you will kill the monster. Like, they give you 50 minutes, right? They give you 50 minutes to kill this thing. Like, you're going to kill it within 50 minutes if you don't die 3 times in a row, right? So I can see how it could be, like, a test of endurance. But, like, I think part of the, at least for me, part of the fun is taking your giant sword and absolutely thrashing this beast into the ground over and over again until you're like, get up, get up, fucking try me. You know, but I do know that a lot of the harder monsters do have a lot. Like, you do need to have a little bit more pattern recognition. In the beginning, you're not going to fight a lot of threats, which is true. So I can see it is like a, yeah, it's a long trek to, like, get to something, I guess, really rewarding for your time put in. So I understand. It's a shame.
Yeah, I'm sure there would be a point where maybe it would click with me. Or maybe I have to just hit a certain, I have to find a certain desire within myself to, like, really crave that.
Yeah.
But I think just what the games that appeal to me, I mean, you know, I just too addicted to Valorant. And even like fighting games hit the same kind of like rhythm that I like, where it's just you play a match, you win or lose, but there's something to learn. Like, afterwards you can come back and be like, I can improve on this. I can, and you keep chasing the win and the improvement, and you just want to be better. And that's like the loop that I really fall in love with. And they do have that in Monster Hunter, but at least in the Monster Hunter loop, it just takes a little bit longer. And it feels like you kind of, at least for me, it felt like I needed to, like, if I missed something, it felt
forgiving.
I don't know, like, almost. And it, like, sometimes the steps didn't feel like they mattered that much.
Yeah.
And it felt like I was being, like, bloated with things that weren't, like, 100% necessities. Mm. And so I was like, when do I get to the point where it's like, I no longer get the tutorials. I no longer get bogged down. It's just purely, like, I know what I'm doing. I don't need, like, I can just look at this game, the minimap, whatever, and just know exactly what to do, where to go. Because, you know, you're just, like, skilled at it. And that's, I love that with, like, all the, like, chess and Valorant fighting games, where it's just, it's very clear, like, early in the game. It's like, I'm playing a 1v1 fighting game. I lose. It's like, well, why did I lose? Oh, I sucked at blocking. Or, like, why did I lose? I dropped all my combos. And it's, like, super clear right away. And there's, like, no, there's, like, no, I don't know. Like, everything's so important. Like, in fighting games, you can't, like, there's no part of that that is like, well, that's just bloat. It's like, no, that's important. And I love that. I love it when games do that.
That's totally fair. I think that's a really, that's an accurate assessment of, an accurate assessment of Monster Hunter. I totally agree. Because I do think the game is focusing on, like, getting you to grind, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than,
which is cool, I think. Like, I also, like, if I ever crave an MMO, just like this idea of, like, I like Monster Hunter would for sure feel that for me, especially because playing with other people is really good. It's really fun, and doing, like, these, like, raids
is
really rewarding. You just put in time, and then at the end of it, you're rewarded with, like, loot that makes your current loot better. And so, like, I can definitely see myself craving that. It's just not, like, the game that gets me, like, addicted from the get-go.
Yeah, definitely. No, you're totally right. And I do think that, in a way, you, even though it's not an MMO, it has a lot of those MMO sensibilities where cooperating and playing with other people is really attractive. But a lot of the combat is more, it's a little tighter, you know. Than like your MMO. You're not clicking skill buttons. In any case, I'm glad. I wanted to know your opinions, and I'm sorry you didn't get hooked, man. Cause on this side over here, and we're having a good time, man. And if you don't want to come over here, that's fine. You can stay over there.
No, okay. But, like, can I just come?
No.
Like, I'll bring chips. I'll bring chips.
Sure.
You guys can have fun.
Actually,
like, am I gonna ruin the fun? Am I gonna third wheel? Like, oh, you're gonna feel bad because I'm just like sitting there watching, and you're like, hey, man, like you can just play, and I'm like, no, it's fine. You guys have fun.
You guys have fun.
Yeah, I'm having fun just watching. It's cool.
Oh my god, the like partner that doesn't play video games.
Yeah.
That just wants to be included. It's so sad.
That actually made me really sad.
Yeah, dude.
Cause you know they're just sitting there in the chair, just watching, not understanding what's happening, but
you know they're just trying to spend time with you. That's what they want. They really want to like it. Hey, he really likes this, you know. And if it's important to him, it should be important to me.
Yeah, he's a good person with sad results.
Anyway, I think that's it for this episode, man. We talked about a lot of how the fuck am I gonna title this episode, right, gang? Anyway, thank you for listening. I gotta do the outro because Tommy had to leave. You can catch us. I don't even know. Just thank you for listening, and anytime you want to come by, we'll be here for you.
Thanks for stopping by.
We'll catch you on the flip.
Catch you on the flip.